Most of the things I write on my blog, for my radio show and podcast, and for publication by others goes out into the world without my having any idea how it will land with readers and listeners. I occasionally hear from radio stations when listeners complain to them about the liberal or woke content of For the Birds. I've always been a strong environmentalist, which used to be a bipartisan thing, but nowadays pretty much translates to being a liberal, and I like being wide awake, so I never respond unless the complaint includes substantive arguments. When I discover or am alerted to a factual error, I do my best to publicly correct it as quickly as possible. My recent blog post and radio program titled "Setting Out Pet Fur for Birds is Dangerous" was very strongly criticized in 3 emails from 1 blog reader. I'd written the post after reading an Oklahoma birding listserv post by the wonderful conservationist Jerry Davis, and then an item on the Cornell Lab of Ornithology's website, both mentioning an important 2025 UK study published in Science of the Total Environment. Researchers examining 103 nests of great tits and Eurasian blue tits found that the insecticides and flea and tick preventatives contaminated the fur incorporated into every one of the nests, and that the higher the amount of these pesticides in a nest, the fewer eggs produced and subsequently hatched, and the higher the chick mortality. It was important for me to bring this study to people's attention because I had personally recommended setting out pet fur in my 2006 book, 101 Ways to Help Birds. Now I know better, and I need it to set the record straight. My critic jumped from one criticism to another, starting with questioning the validity of the study. She first argued that the strong correlation between the amount of pesticide in the nesting fur and lower nest success didn't prove causation, saying that this paper was an example of the publish or perish mentality that impels some researchers to publish misleading or even falsified data. She clearly did not understand that a lot of important studies begin with some scientists establishing a correlation, giving other scientists the starting point to discover the underlying mechanisms. I gave as an example Joe Hickey, who measured eggshell thickness in both contemporary peregrine falcon eggs and those of museum specimens collected before DDT was available, to show that the reason the falcons were declining precipitously was almost certainly because something related to DDT was causing eggs to be too fragile to hatch. Hickey was not a physiologist, but the powerful correlation he discovered gave the impetus to avian physiologists to determine the mechanism. I said that if Hickey had waited to publish anything until causation was established, we'd have seen a whole different spin on publish or perish. My big brother was one of the many kids who used to jump on their bikes and follow the DDT truck. Had we waited years longer to ban DDT use in the United States, more little kids would have been exposed, and peregrine falcons, bald eagles, and other species already on the brink might have disappeared altogether. Her second email suggested why she was so upset about my post in the first place. She wrote that people might take my words, quote, a bit too far by not treating their pets with such chemicals in order to save the birds. We already have too many dogs suffering from heartworm. Tick bites can cause a variety of illness in pets and their owners, end quote. But I had discussed giving my own dog Pip a flea and tick preventative and about how valuable it was to get my own clothing treated before my trip to Guyana, stating that, quote, climate change is making insect-borne diseases ever more prevalent, end quote. Nowhere did I suggest that I or anyone else stop using these products for their pets or themselves. All I asked was that people dispose of pet fur and treated clothing in the garbage where nesting birds cannot get it. She didn't answer a single one of my points in her third and final email. Instead, she changed tack yet again. Quote, "You've your opinion and I have mine. However, I would encourage you to examine these reports about the journal this study was published in," end quote. She attached two tiny-to-read screen caps of LinkedIn posts about someone whose name I couldn't decipher even on my large computer monitor, a link to an article about a person faking peer reviews, though that person was not associated with this study, and a Wikipedia link about the journal itself that mentioned a couple of scandals having nothing to do with this paper or its authors. I asked my environmental chemist and toxicologist husband, Russ, about Science of the Total Environment, which he said was a decent peer-reviewed journal with a long history, maybe second tier compared to Science, Ecology, and other more prestigious journals, but still very credible. I'd already wasted over 2 hours of my finite and ever-shortening lifespan on this exchange without her acknowledging a single point I'd made, so I gave up. I stand by every word of my original post and my conclusion. If your pets get flea and tick protection, please don't set out their fur for nesting birds. That's my final word. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.